Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and the chance to be together again and to gather around your word and think about it together. Please help us this evening, especially as we're darting around lots of different Bible passages, to think about the Holy Spirit and how he brings us to Jesus. Inspire us and encourage us, we pray. Build us up in Christ. Give us understanding that will help us live for him and trust him. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder if you ever think, I wonder if I can keep going. I wonder if I can keep going as a Christian. You know, life throws stuff at us and it might throw us off balance, as it were. So illness, hassles with jobs, relationships, even natural disasters. I wonder if I can keep going as a Christian with all this stuff going around. But have I got enough faith? Do I pray enough? Have I read the Bible enough? I wonder if I can keep going. Now, if you ever start feeling that, I have a suggestion, and that is, think back to when you first became a Christian, or when you first knew that you were a Christian, and ask yourself, how much of that was God at work, and how much of that was me? What did God do? What did I do? Today, we're looking at the idea that it's God, the Holy Spirit, who brings us to Jesus. Not just because that's something that happens when we become a Christian, but because it says something very important about how we stay with Christ, how we stay a Christian. And at the top of the sheets there, you can fill in the gaps on this. We trust too much in our own abilities and not enough in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. That's what we're going to find as we look at this fact that it's God the Holy Spirit who brings us to Jesus. We trust too much in our own abilities and not enough in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And in a way, I want to turn it around to say, don't trust in our own abilities, but in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. So we're in our third sermon in the series, The Business of the Holy Spirit. So far we've thought about advertising. So he points to Jesus. He's like a big spotlight that shines on Jesus. And he honours and glorifies Jesus to us through God's word and in our hearts. We saw assistance last time, thinking about the fact that it's like having Jesus with us. Jesus has gone through the cross to resurrection and heaven, but he sends the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to be invisibly with us. Like having Jesus, advertising and assistance. And today we're thinking about networking. I don't know, maybe that's not a good word. Forget the word. We're thinking about he brings us to Jesus. So how does the Holy Spirit bring us to Jesus? Let's think first of all about how we come to Jesus in the first place. Let's look at a couple of Bible passages. So here's Acts 2:38. They're all on the sheet, these Bible passages, so you don't need to go diving around in the Bible. You can do that later if you want to, but they are on the sheet. So Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, says to 3,000 or more people, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So how do we come to Christ? Peter says, "Repent and be baptized." That's another way of saying repent and believe, which is what Jesus taught. Paul, writing a few years later to Christians in Ephesus, said this to them, Ephesians 1:13. "You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So how did they come to Christ? They heard the message of truth, the gospel, and God the Holy Spirit came to live with them, and it's like having a seal marking them. So both Peter and Paul are saying essentially the same thing. There's a message that's heard, and then God the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life as they repent and believe. And there's a sort of a process going on in this with, if you like, four stages. There's hearing the message, understanding, believing, and then receiving Jesus. Hearing the message, you hear about who Jesus is, what he's done. You actually have to understand that in your head. You have to take what you've heard and see how it all works. You have to believe it. It's one thing to understand something, another thing to believe it. I understand that there are people in Australia who think they're Jedi warriors, but I don't believe in people being Jedi warriors or whatever it is, you know. But in this case, there's that movement to believing in Jesus. And then that, when you believe, you receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So let's imagine two people, and I'll call them imaginatively, Jack and Jill. And they're both believers in Jesus, but they've come to Jesus in different ways. So Jack has been a believer all his life. And Jill became a Christian in her 20s. So think about Jill. How did she become a Christian then? What happened in Jill's life in her 20s that meant that she became a Christian? Well, she heard the message. So maybe a friend chatted with her about Jesus and would have explained. Have you heard the little sequence? God, people, God. What if I don't? What if I do? Have you heard that one? No, great one. God, people, God. What if I don't? What if I do? So God exists. He creates the world. He's the ruler of the world, God. A people, we ignore God, generally, reject him, and go our own way. We're rebels, God, people. God, what will God do? He cares about this, and God will judge us. But in his love, he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And Jesus rose as Lord of all and calls us to turn to him and receive his forgiveness. So that's God, people, God. What if I do? If you do, if you receive Jesus, then sins are wiped away, have new life with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us, and one day we'll see Jesus face to face in his eternal kingdom. So that's what if I do. What if I don't? Then we stay as we are, facing God's judgment, and one day we'll know what it's like to be cut off from God eternally. So maybe Jill heard that from a friend, or went to a talk, or was explained, or something like that, and she had to think about it. What's it all about? Maybe that was a process that took a few months, maybe a year or two. But it worked in her, it worked away in her head until she came to understand what it all meant. What was sin? What was God? Who's Jesus? What did he do on the cross? Maybe she went on a Christianity Explore course to help her understanding grow and develop. And then she came to that stage where it went from just something that was happening intellectually, as it were, when it became a me thing. So instead of Jesus being the Lord, the Saviour, Jesus started to become my Lord and my Saviour to her. And she saw that it was her who was sinful, a rebel against God, not just some person on a page in the Bible or something. And it was her who needed forgiveness, started to believe. And then she turned to Jesus and received him. Maybe she prayed a sorry, thank you, please prayer. Sorry, Lord, I've gone my way, not yours. Thank you that Jesus died for me on the cross and he's alive as my Saviour. Please, let me receive him into my life. And for someone who becomes a Christian later in life, that's the kind of path they'll take. What about someone who's a believer all their life? So maybe they're born into a Christian family and they've never known a time when they didn't believe in Jesus. How does this fit in with what their experience? Well, it still works because throughout their life they will have heard about Jesus from their parents, reading Bible stories, explaining things over breakfast, when they went to church, talking about what they did at church afterwards, that kind of thing. And they'll have come to understand things in a different way as they grow up. Their understanding when they're a four-year-old, very different from when they're 14, and when they're 24, they'll have changed. But they'll all have always understood it. And believing it, well, to start with, that belief would have been the belief that you get from your parents. You believe everything your parents do. But when they're a teenager, they'll have had to think through, as they do with every teenager, doesn't it? A lot of teenagers do this. And they rebel against what their parents say. So they have to think for it themselves. And maybe Jack, been a believer all his life, maybe when he stopped and said, is this me or is it just my parents? He realised, no, this was something he believed in as well. And receiving it, well, he will always have been receiving Jesus. And there may have been times in Jack's life, growing up as a Christian, when he'll have heard a talk in church, or at his youth group, or when he went to university, or something like that. And he said, yeah, I believe, but that's me again. And would have kind of recommitted his life to Jesus, maybe several times. And all the time, receiving Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So that's what it means to come to Christ. It's a process. And maybe that's not something you've done yet. Maybe you're still on the path somewhere. Maybe you haven't yet understood enough about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, why you need him, what he offers. Perhaps there's things to think about. But what does the Holy Spirit have to do with this? Well, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, he brings new life. He brings new life. You see, at every stage of this process, this journey, he's at work. And he's got to be, because we can't do it on our own. Why can't we do it on our own? Well, we trust too much in our own abilities, as I said at the beginning, didn't we? And not enough in God's love and power. We can't do it on our own because we're dead. We're dead to God. It's not our understanding and our spirituality that'll ever get anywhere near him, but God's mighty love and power at work in us, changing us. So this passage from Ephesians describes how dead we are spiritually to the things of God, although we're alive as humans. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were by nature deserving of wrath, he goes on to say. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Transgressions is another word for rebellion against God, for sin. It is by grace you have been saved. God's love and power at work, not our ability. Because we haven't got any ability, because we're basically spiritually dead without him. So, when it comes to hearing the message, the Holy Spirit was at work there. We needed help because we were deaf and blind, and God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's God's creating power at work. So Jill, for years, she thought Christianity was rubbish. And then she started to change and started to think seriously about it. Jack, even as he grew up, he began to understand more and more, because God was at work in him, helping him to know more about Jesus. Understanding. We needed the Holy Spirit to help us understand. We needed him to show us in our lives what sin is, because without him showing us that, we'd be oblivious to it. John 16, when he comes, the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. So for example, Jack, who's the long-term Christian, as he got older, he will have known and understood more about how his life is in rebellion against God and the things that he does and the ways he thinks that are like that. Why? Well, God, the Holy Spirit at work as he reads the Bible and sees what God has to say, as he applies that to his life and thinks about it. Jill, the new Christian, well, for her, this understanding will be a new thing that maybe came through perhaps something like a Christianity Explore course. As she's confronted with the idea, thinks about her life, does it match to the idea, and sees that it does. We need God the Holy Spirit to help us with that. Believing. We need God the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, so that we go from someone who thinks it's a fact to someone who knows that it's a fact that applies to us. John 6, 44. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." That says that the Father is drawing them, but the Father uses God the Holy Spirit to do this ministry in our hearts. So Jill, for example, the new Christian, she came to a point where she realised she needed Jesus. A part of that was her own understanding, thinking through it through, but also Jesus is saying it's God the Father drawing her in by God the Spirit. Jack, who's always believed, all the way along the stage, as he grows in his understanding, God the Father is drawing him and keeping on drawing him to himself through the Spirit. And then receiving, that last stage where, well, we get down on our knees and say, "Lord, I need you." And this is from the passage we heard earlier with Nicodemus and Jesus in John 3. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Remember, we were dead without God being at work, and he breathes life into us through the Spirit and brings us to spiritual life with him. And Jack, over the course of the years as he's grown up as a Christian, several times will have reaffirmed his faith in Christ. And God the Holy Spirit will have been at work, helping him to understand more about and to keep trusting Jesus. And Jill, who's a new Christian, at some stage there would have been a day when she prayed for the first time, "Lord, I want you in my life. I need what you've done. Please forgive me." And although she would have made that prayer and decided to do that, that would have been God the Holy Spirit giving birth to new life in her. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Every stage, you were active. Jill or Jack were active in a way, using their mind, thinking, analysing, questioning, wanting, knowing, responding, all these things, wondering, feeling ashamed. All things going on in us, but every stage as well, God the Holy Spirit is active, moving us, changing us, helping us. Here's an illustration that sort of works a bit. The more I think about it, it's deficient. But, you know, you've got power steering in a car. So when you have power steering in a car, what happens is you steer with your hands. But there's also hydraulics or electronics behind it that powers what you're doing. So you have a large car that's heavy that you'd never be able to move on your own. And as you move, the power steering takes your movements and makes them bigger. You're doing something. The power steering is doing something together. It's a bit like that with the Holy Spirit. We're in our stages of coming to Christ. We're doing something. We're thinking, working things out. God, the Holy Spirit, is doing something with us, changing and moving us. The big difference is that when we steer a car, we're the ones who first think about it. But somehow, with the mystery of God, the Holy Spirit at work, he comes in, maybe sometimes, yeah, even before we're aware. So perhaps that's where it's deficient. But never mind, you get the sort of idea. So, for someone who isn't yet a Christian, they might say, well, is God the Holy Spirit at work in me? And if they've turned up here today, then maybe he is. And maybe someone says, well, I'm not a Christian yet, why not? And the answer to that is, well, let's pray. You can pray, we can pray. Jesus promises that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. So pray for God to be at work. Maybe someone might say, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I can do this. I can do this. But the problem is that without God, we're dead to him. And we do need that power of God, that love of God, to bring us to life. And without that, we're stuck. We trust too much in our own abilities and not enough in the love and power of God in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. What if you are trusting Jesus? Here's what we need to do. Changing the words of that opening statement a little bit. Let's stop trusting in our own ability and trust instead in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Can you keep going as a disciple? First question I asked. Can we? No, not in our own strength. But yes, if we keep trusting in God the Father, who loves us, the Son, Jesus, who saves us, the Spirit, who helps us. So that verse from John 6, again, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. This idea is picked up by Paul in Philippians. He says he's confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So who began the work? God did. God the Holy Spirit. Who's going to keep it going? God will. God the Holy Spirit. Till when? The day of Jesus. The day when Christ returns. That's as long as we need that help. Because from then on we'll see him face to face. So do we need any more than that? No. God can help us to keep going as disciples. Not in our own strength, but in his strength. And so someone might say, well, what if I What if I get cancer? I'm a Christian. What if I get cancer? And there is no promise in the Bible that Christians will be healed from cancer. But will God love you through that in your illness? Yes. What will his mighty power do for you in your illness? Keep you with him through it by the work of the Holy Spirit. Whatever will happen in the end, whether you're cured or not. What if I lose my job? A Christian might say. Well, there's nothing to stop you losing your job as a Christian. Even with God, the Holy Spirit at work in your life, you might lose your job. And all the other hardships that might come our way as well. But God will keep us with Jesus through that difficulty, whatever it is, by his love, by his power. What if tragedy affects somebody I love, somebody I know? Well, being a follower of Jesus will not stop that happening to us either. But God, the Holy Spirit, can help us to keep trusting in Jesus through difficulties and troubled times like that. Can we keep going as a disciple? Not in our own strength, but yes, with God's help through the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Or what about our friends and our family? This idea that God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in us is a real encouragement for us to be braver with sharing Jesus. Huh? You think that seems a bit odd? Because if God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in people, bringing them to Christ, what do we need to do? Well, how does God, the Holy Spirit, bring the understanding that prompts a person to turn to Jesus? Remember these verse from Ephesians? You also are included in Christ when you heard the message of salvation, the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So there's two things happening. There's God, the Holy Spirit, being at work, and there's people prompted by God, the Holy Spirit, using his word to speak about Jesus. And the problem is, again, we trust too much in our own ability. And we think about our own ability, and we say, I can't. I haven't got any ability. I can't do it. I can't share Jesus. But we're trusting too much in our own ability. And what we need to do is trust in God's love and power, and his ability to use our weakness and our feebleness in other people's lives. Get on with sharing Jesus, even though we're rubbish at it, because God can be at work even through that. But David, you say, I really am bad. I don't see opportunities till they're gone. And I say stupid things. And I can't work out what to say. My witness at work is crummy. Join the club. Join the club. We're all like that. But do we want our friends and family to know Jesus? To be rescued from dark, from the dark to the light? Yeah. Well, then we keep praying for opportunities. Because we know God can be at work. We ask him to be at work. We learn useful things to say, because it'd be a bit daft if we didn't, knowing that we're not very good at saying things. We sort out our lifestyle if that's a problem. And we pray and trust in him to help us. Stop trusting in your own ability and trust instead in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So this is good news. Good news. It's God, the Holy Spirit, who brings us to Jesus. I suppose that's why I've called it networking. If someone who networks is someone who brings person A and person B together. And that's what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing with us and Jesus. So let's stop trusting in our own ability to keep going with Jesus, or to share the good news of Jesus, and trust instead in God's love and power in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a powerful God, the God of creation power. And through the Spirit, you bring new life in people. Like you said at the beginning of creation, let there be light. And in each of our hearts, as those who trust in Christ, you have said in the same way, let there be light in our hearts. And you shone in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ. Heavenly Father, help us to trust you, to keep us trusting in Jesus. Help us to trust you, to use our weak efforts in sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And help us to see God the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of people we're in touch with, bringing them to Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.